Well, good morning, and so glad that you are here. Thank you so much for joining us today, and I just want to say a special welcome to you, and thank you for being here. I hope and pray that you had a great Thanksgiving and enjoyed time together. Hopefully you got to spend some time with friends and family and enjoy that, and so grateful for all the Lord blesses us with. So I want to just share with you a few things happening in the life and ministry of our church, and let you know of a few things that are coming up. Sorry, this is not in the bulletin, but this coming Wednesday, we have our Bible study with the pastor, and I've begun teaching through the book of Genesis. So that happens at 9:30 this Wednesday morning. That's the first Wednesday of every month. And so this Wednesday, it's hard to believe it's December, right? But here it is. This Wednesday, 9:30 a.m., and usually some light refreshments. If you want to bring something, you're welcome to. But we just spend about an hour of just some fellowship and getting to visit a little bit. And then I'm teaching through the book of Genesis. And so that's the plan for this Wednesday. I hope you'll make plans to be with us. Next week is the Women's Christmas Craft Fellowship. I won't ever get that right, but nonetheless, just a fellowship for ladies of just doing a Christmas craft, and that is next Sunday evening, 4:00, and I know there's some light refreshments prepared for that, and if you want to be a part of that or help in any way or anything, you can visit with my wife, Daydrian, and I know that they're looking forward to that. That's at 4:00 next Wednesday. Also, December 15th is our annual holiday meal fellowship. We do this between Thanksgiving and Christmas, trying to catch a little bit of a break because I know many of you do a lot of cooking for Thanksgiving and or Christmas. And so it is December 15th, immediately following our Sunday morning service. The church will provide the meat and then all the sides, desserts, rolls, all those things. There's a sign-up sheet out in the foyer there if you'd like to sign up. That'll greatly help us know who's bringing what and make sure we have plenty of food for everyone. It's always a really enjoyable time to be together. So again, that is December 15th. A lot of different things happening. As always, there's more announcements in the bulletin. Let me maybe clarify a little bit on a mistake I made last week. I think I announced the wrong date, but on the Women's Bible Study, that will begin January 12th, and Miss Brenda is helping to lead that. And so if you would like to sign up for that, if we can just try to let her know if you're planning to attend or be a part of that, we just want to make sure that we have enough materials ready for that Bible study, okay? That's coming on January 12th. So again, if you're interested in being a part of that, you can visit with her and more information and all that kind of thing you can get from her, okay? All right, there's other announcements there. I'll let you read those there in the bulletin, the news and notes. And we resume our Wednesday night activities this week. And so our kids and youth will be back going. And then our college students will have one more time to meet together this Wednesday night before they break for their Christmas break. And so just a lot going on. It's a busy time, right? And so just as always, pay attention to the news and notes. We try to get the emails out and the text messages, try to keep you as informed as we can. Well, Psalm 121, as we begin to just sort of fix our eyes on today's service and focus in on Him, and it's an exciting time. We're even this morning starting to kind of scratch the itch of Christmas a little bit and singing a few familiar songs that begin to focus our eyes on Christmas. But Psalm 121, it says this, it begins in these first two verses, "I will lift my eyes to the Lord," or to the hills, "from whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth." And we have a God in heaven who meets our needs, who hears our prayers, who meets us right where we are. And so, so grateful for all the ways that the Lord blesses us and provides and cares for us. And so, let's take a few moments this morning and just fix our eyes on heaven and worship the Lord. He is worthy today. So if you will, if you'll bow your head and close your eyes and let's take a few moments and just fix our attention on Him. Lord Jesus, you're good and gracious and kind, and we thank you for today. We thank you for how you love and care for us. Lord, I pray that all that we say and do would bring honor and glory to your name. Lord, I pray that you would help us to focus on you, eliminate distractions that may abound, and just help us to worship you in spirit and in truth this morning. Help us to honor you with our time. I pray you be glorified to all that is said and sung today. And Lord Jesus, we just love you and praise you. We thank you for all that you are and all that you do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you would stand with us as we sing this morning. In the darkness we were weighed without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings.
to reveal the kingdom coming and to reconcile the lost, to redeem the whole creation. You did not despise the cross, for even in your suffering you saw to the other side, knowing this was our salvation. Jesus, for us sake you died. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. In the morning that you rose, all of heaven held its breath, till that stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe, for the souls of all who'd come to the Father are restored. And the Church of Christ was born, then the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel truth of old shall not kneel, shall not fade. By his blood and in his name, in his freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. Praise forever to the King of Kings. You may be seated. Survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died. My richest gain I count but loss, and poor content on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and affliction go down. Did such love and sorrow meet, or thoughts composed so
as we sing this last verse together. Father, we thank you so much. Not that you just came to be born, like we'll celebrate in the next few weeks and so forth, dear Father, but you came specifically to live and then die on our behalf. Let us never forget the price you paid by coming to this earth. Dear Father, we thank you now that you have the opportunity to speak to us through your Holy Spirit, through your word, and I pray that our hearts would be open as Pastor Chris comes and shares. We ask these things in your name. Amen.
If you have your Bible, and I hope that you do, would you turn to the book of Philippians? Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4. Well, I know that you all, after last week's message, were definitely concerned, but I'll give you peace of mind this morning that I did have my cranberry sauce this Thursday, and it was straight out of the can, and it was glorious. So I hope that you enjoyed a great Thanksgiving meal, enjoyed the week. This morning, I'm preaching a message of anxiety's remedy. And let me Let me just spend a moment setting the table, if you will, for today's message. We live in a culture and a day and time of extremes. A time where we overstate everything, we overuse everything, even the word everything, right? We label things and go to extreme measures in that. And I think one of the dangers that we face today is that as we deal with current day issues and things going on in our culture and society, etc., is that we over-label things. Well, whenever that happens, if everything is whatever the label is, then nothing is, right? We saturate it so much that we can't really deal with issues. This is what I mean, is that we live in a day and time where there is a good thing, but there's a raised awareness of mental health. Now, a lot of different things in our culture, but particularly mental health. There's a raised awareness about mental health, and that's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. However, where we've gone wrong is that everything seemingly is now a mental health issue. And what happens is when there are real mental health issues and we label things that are not really mental health issues, they're just everyday struggles. They're just things that people have dealt with for centuries and centuries, and it's not really a mental health issue, but we label that way. Well, then we're not able to get down to the real issues, and we're not able to really help folks who are really struggling with mental health issues. Are you tracking with me? Are you following with me? And so why talk about that this morning is because I'm going to talk about anxiety this morning. And I imagine if you poll most of our society, probably majority of people struggle with anxiety. But here's the deal. Anxiety is on a continuum. There's variations, there's degrees to it, right? And certainly there are some who maybe have physiological issues and imbalances, different things going on that lend itself to that. And so I really want to be careful this morning when I say anxiety is remedy, because I understand there's all sorts of degrees of this that we're going to talk about this morning. But I believe that the Word of God has a clear word for us, and for the vast majority, it will really make a significant impact in and through our lives, because it is the inerrant, infallible Word of God. And Paul gives this direction. He gives this remedy, if you will, to a day and time, a church at Philippi, to the Philippians, as he's closing out the book, he's rattling off these things similar to what we looked at last week of rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. Similarly, in the same way, he's giving some direction. And so I want to start off by saying I'm not trying to minimize anybody's anxiety, anybody's struggles this morning. That's not my heart or my goal. But my heart and passion is, I believe the Lord laid this message on my heart several weeks ago, is because I think there's a lot of this struggle in our day and time. There's a lot of struggle, particularly in this season, even on the calendar, right? There's a lot of anxiety coming into the holiday seasons for all sorts of reasons. And so this morning, I just believe with all my heart in this day and time, that God has a word for us here in the book of Philippians. And so I want to preach to you this message I've titled Anxiety's Remedy. And so if you found your place, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God, if you're willing and able. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. And God in heaven, I pray this morning that you would teach us through your word. I pray you give me every word to say, nothing more, nothing less. I pray that you'd fill me, fill this room, Holy Spirit, that you would work in and through us. God, I pray Anybody doesn't know you, I pray you'd save them today. I pray for believers struggling with anxiety that you would work in and through their lives today. God, set them free. Give us wisdom and grace, I pray. Lord, I pray for the saints that you would encourage them. Lord, you be glorified above all else, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, this message of anxiety's remedy. The main idea of the text is this, is that God gives prayer as the remedy to anxiety. There we go. We can go ahead and pray and go home. That's the sermon. Is that God gives prayer as the remedy to anxiety. Hey, listen, folks, I'm trying to be careful here because I don't want to oversimplify it, but however, the text is really simple and clear this morning. And we don't need to make more of it than what it really is, but we're going to dig into this just a bit, is that God really does give prayer as the antidote to anxiety. So the question then is this, is what does your prayer life look like? Particularly, I want you to think about this, in moments and seasons of your life, when anxiety is higher in your life, I want you to, as best you can, try to take a snapshot of what does your regular prayer life look like. And I would venture to say and guess that if you're like me, the higher your anxiety, the probably least consistent or less consistent you are in your prayer life. Now, here's the deal. It's not just all I got to do is spend one more hour in prayer and it's suddenly going to go away. That's not the idea, but he's going to give us some direction about the importance of prayer in place of anxiety, okay? And so two ideas here I want us to see, two key thoughts. Number one, anxiety's remedy orders you to action. Anxiety's remedy orders you to action. Let's look together at the text, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. There's the first imperative of the sentence. There's the direction. There's the order. There's two of them, but this is the first. It's a negative command, if you will. Do not be anxious, okay? So here's the thing. We've got to really take this for what it is if we believe this is the Word of God, and the Word of God is giving us a clear direction to not be anxious, then you and I really have to think about when we are anxious, what are we doing? We are in disobedience to God's plan for our lives. And that's hard. That's hard. Because again, we live in a society oftentimes where we over-label things, but then the other thing is we live in a world that is full of victims. And we have created a culture where we are a victim to everything around us, including, now listen to me carefully, okay, preacher's going to go to meddling, including our feelings and our emotions and what we're sensing. Because here's the deal. Look at what the Word of God says. He says, be anxious for nothing. In absolute, don't fall into anxiety. It's a clear direction. There's no getting around this. But some will say, but Pastor, you don't understand. Man, I can feel the anxiety. It can't be sinful to be anxious. It can't be disobeying the Word of God because the feelings and emotions are real and I'm sensing all that. And maybe even your blood pressure is going up and your temperature is going, all that sort of thing. Going, but I feel this. Hear me real carefully this morning. Your emotions are not reality. Your emotions do not dictate reality. We need to hear that clearly because, again, we live in a society where we are a victim. And our society says, man, whatever it is we're facing, what we're struggling with, what I feel, that's true. That's real. I dictate truth. Truth is dictated by how I feel. I feel like doing this, so it's got to be real. I feel like loving this prayer. It's got to be real. I feel like doing this. And listen, folks, that's just not reality because your emotions will run you in the wrong direction. Your emotions will drive you to things that are not of God. Your passion, those things that stir up in you. And so we've got to be really careful to go, man, I can already see even some in the room just getting tense because how dare you tell me what I feel is not of God and it's not God's will and God's plan. But I'm just telling you, this is what the Word of God says. Be anxious for nothing. It's an imperative. It is a command. And so we live in a society, a day and time, where everything is a mental health issue and anxiety. And listen to me, I'm not saying mental health is not real and we don't need to address that. I'm saying quite the opposite. What I'm saying is we need to be really careful where we label things, because we need the folks that have genuine struggles and real things to get the professional help that they need. And so what I'm saying this morning is that the Word of God is really clear: be anxious for nothing. And I realize, I'm fully aware, standing here December 1st, 2024, behind a pulpit, it's easy to make that statement. But it is very hard to live that truth and live that reality out. But here's the beauty of the Word of God. Here's the beauty of what God says and does. The reason why, in my opinion, a lot of secular intervention, be it for addiction or different things, whatever happens, is what the world says, the AA programs, the 12 steps, those type things, what happens is it's behavior modification. And all that those things are trying to do is they are trying to take one behavior and remove it and insert another behavior. The problem is that oftentimes is that what happens is we put something else in place that the world just says is healthier, but it doesn't point us into any greater sense of reality of our deepest need of a saving relationship with Christ or a closer relationship with the Lord Jesus. And so oftentimes we think about, or even times where we fall short as a church, is that we oftentimes tell people, hey, stop doing this or don't do this. And that's where we stop. That's where we tend to finish going, man. A lot of people grow up thinking all my Christian teaching and sitting under the teaching of the Word of God is told, hey, just don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. And we've taken all these things out of people's lives. We think that's the goal. But that's not at all what our text does this morning. The Word of God, thank God, does not just stop with be anxious for nothing. Why? Because all that would be doing is trying to rip something out of your life that's firmly planted there, right or wrong, trying to completely take it off. Now there's a void. What am I going to fill that with? But that's not what the Word of God says. It's not what the Word of God does. Notice the text. There's two imperatives, right? First one, be anxious for nothing. But look at this. But, circle, mark, underline that word. It's a contrast. Rather than he stop doing this, now in contrast, rather than being anxious, do this. But in everything, say everything. Okay, now the rest of you, say everything. Fine, okay. All right, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, look at this. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, here's the second, let your request be made known to God. So did you catch that this morning, that the Word of God is saying, remove anxiety from your life. Do not be anxious. But it's not just leaving a void. Because to leave a void would be similar to if you were up on a tall ladder, or you're scared of heights and you're up in a high place or whatever. Leaving the void would just be saying, hey, don't look down, because what do people do? They look down. Just telling you be anxious for nothing and not replacing it with anything is just saying, hey, don't look down. But that's not what the Word of God does. It says, be anxious for nothing. But then he goes on, but in everything, by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, look at this, let your requests be made known to God. So what is it? We said that, number one, anxiety's remedy orders you to action. The order to action is, first of all, don't be anxious. Great. How am I not supposed to be anxious? Let your requests be made known to God. Pray. They say, that's a little oversimplified. It's a little understated, right? Well, preacher, don't you think, man, I'm full of anxiety. I'm praying. Well, oftentimes, what are we praying about when we're anxious? We're praying about anxiety. God, help me not to be anxious. God, help me to settle down. Help me to all these sorts of things. And I don't think that's the direction of the prayer that he is focused on here. But rather, he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. What does anxiety do? Anxiety is this feeling, this sensing, this emotion over a situation or about something that you have no control over. That's where anxiety sets in. See, concern or a consideration of event is trying to figure out a strategy, something to help deal with this and change or fix the issue. Anxiety leads you to a place not of action, but inaction. It paralyzes us. It leaves us in a place of going, man, I've got no control over the situation. I've got no control over the things going on at work or things going on in this situation. And man, I'm anxious because I can't control it. But then it's controlling us because my blood pressure's up and all these sorts of things going on into my life. But rather, the Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but then do what? Let your requests be made known to God. Rather than being paralyzed through inaction, I am moved to action by bringing the request to God. So it's not just a removal of taking something out of your life. It's taking something out of your life, but saying, hey, let me put something back in. Let me give you a healthier response. Let me give you a godly response. What does that response look like? Notice what he says. The last phrase is, let your requests be made known to God. Back up though, he says, but in everything, there's three descriptors, I think, of this letting requests be made to go. Made known to God, prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving. I think that's the description of the type of prayer that's happening. Is that it's praying, and the idea is praying for yourself, supplication, interceding, praying for somebody else, but then doing it with a heart of thanksgiving. Thanking God for the opportunity. It's an all-encompassing, focused prayer. That I'm in this, I'm facing this situation, something I can't control, something that I can't fix. Instead of being overwhelmed with anxiety, but rather what the Word of God says, I need to then spend time in prayer. Let my request be made known to God. And so now I'm praying for the people that are involved. I'm praying for myself. What is a godly response? God, give me wisdom. Give me direction. Help me to trust you in this. God, thank you for an opportunity to trust you with what you want to do. Be anxious for nothing. First command. Calls us to action. Don't entertain it. Don't be a victim to it. How do we are not a victim? We move to action by praying. That's why that prayer is the antidote to anxiety. Because oftentimes, when we're overwhelmed with anxiety, we're paralyzed and we're not even spending time with the Lord. We're not even bringing it to Him. We're just so overwhelmed, we don't know what to do. I mean, right, we've all been there. All been there in moments and seasons of our life where there is so much to do, you don't even know where to start. Don't even know where to begin. I think what the Lord is calling us to here is going, when you're in those moments and you're overwhelmed, then take time and bring it to Him, saying, God, I trust you in this. I don't know how to fix it. And you never know what He's going to do in that. You never know how He's going to give wisdom, how He's going to lead. Because God can do exceptionally and above all that we could ever ask, imagine, or hope for. You can go, Pastor Chris, it's pretty strong to call anxiety sinful or disobedient to the Lord. Well, Jesus gave us a word about worry or anxiety in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. Listen to what Jesus says here in the Sermon on the Mount, the greatest sermon ever preached. He says, therefore I say to you, do not worry. There's a command. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So Jesus is teaching, he's saying, hey, don't worry. Don't worry. And he's even talking about the basic necessities of life. Let alone he is not talking about my canned cranberry sauce, right? I mean, he's talking about real life, real issues, real things. He says, don't worry about this. I take care of the animal. The birds, you're more valuable than they. And by the way, along the way, he asks this rhetorical question of going, what difference are you really going to make by worrying about it? Is it going to affect it in any way? He continues on. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? By the way, he's pointing to this as a faith issue. Well, what keeps us from praying is lack of faith. It's all tied together. He goes on, therefore, do not worry, there it is again, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But notice the contrast, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. What's the compare and contrast here? He says time and again in this text, do not worry. What he's taking away, do not worry. What's the putting in? Seek first the kingdom of God. Well, how do you seek first the kingdom of God? Well, it begins with prayer. I hope you're seeing this morning that he's saying, don't be anxious for anything, but let your requests be made known to God. Don't worry about anything, but seek first the kingdom of God. And he addresses them, oh, you of little faith, what keeps us from praying is we just don't believe God will hear us, or we don't believe God will answer. And so because of that, that leaves us with our own strength. And now here we are facing situations we can't control, we can't fix, we can't deal with. And so then we're left with emotions and feelings, and we get overwhelmed with anxiety. And that's where we've just got to back up. Step back and let our requests be made known unto God. With prayer, thanksgiving, prayer, supplication with thanksgiving. Last week we looked at this, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. The Lord is far more concerned and involved and wanting to work in your life than you and I ever could imagine. He wants to do things in your life and in my life for his glory and his name's sake. He's not surprised by the situations that you're feeling. He's not surprised by the season of life that you're living in. And again, I understand on Sunday morning standing here in this pulpit, it is easy to say, don't be anxious. Just pray. I realize that that's a great bumper sticker that's really hard to implement. I really believe that's what the Word of God is giving us as the remedy. So there's this remedy. Number one, anxiety's remedy orders you to action. Number two, anxiety's remedy offers you a blessing. So catch this. Not only does the Lord say, through the inspiration of Paul, don't be anxious for anything. So take this out. Let your request be made known to God. Put prayer in. But then he gives us a promise. He gives us a promise. Notice verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And the peace of God. How many times have we probably quoted this for many of us, at least some version of it, right? Man, the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds. Surpasses all understanding. But how often do we quote it almost as this an overarching, man, come upon me, let me experience the peace of God, when we've not first followed the actions that God has given us? So the actions begin with, don't be anxious, taking anxiety out of our lives, but then insert prayer And then whenever we're obedient to the Word of God and the will of God, then what happens? Then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Oftentimes, we want the promise or the blessing of God without the activity of being obedient to the will of God. Right? I mean, as kids, that's what we did, right? We want the blessings of mom and dad without having to do the chores. Listen. Y'all act like I don't know what... I know what y'all were like children, because I was too, right? I mean, we want the blessings. We want that tree to be filled up, all them boxes underneath, right? But we don't always want to take the trash out or do what's expected. And now here, I want to be really careful. Jesus is not in this bartering system. You do this, I'll do this. You do this, I'll do this. No, we never deserve what God gives us. He always gives us what we don't deserve, and that's grace. Grace and mercy. But throughout the Word of God, He gives promises. He gives promises, and he says, hey, and here's some direction, and if you'll do this, here's a promise. And that's exactly what happens here. Says, don't be anxious for anything. Rather, let your requests be made known to God. And the promise is that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Any of you ever been in those moments in your life where maybe it seems like some of life's worst circumstances, some of the most difficult seasons and moments in your life, and God was just really gracious, and the peace of God that surpassed all understanding. I'm telling you, as a pastor, I have the front row seat of seeing it often. Usually in a time of loss where a widow or a loved one is, they're in the middle of grieving, but at the same time, they're walking with the Lord, and there's just a peace about them that you just can't explain. You can't understand of going, man, it's just unfathomable to think that they still have a peace in the midst of all that's going on. Most of us have seen that or experienced that. That's the peace that God's talking about. That's why it's described as peace that surpasses all understanding. It doesn't make human sense for an individual to be in the darkest of times, in the most difficult of seasons, to experience the peace of God. And dear friend, I'm telling you, whatever situation you're facing, the things that you face on a regular basis that are causing anxiety, there is peace to be experienced through the power of God. And he says it's the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. And then can I just share with you, as I was studying for this week, I saw something that I've never seen before. Notice here in verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, that's the description of the promise that's coming. Look at this. Will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. First of all, circle, underline that guards. Remember I told you, we live in a society where we're all victims. Victim of something, of situation, whatever it is. And sometimes, man, I'm a victim of my emotions. I can't help but feel this way. All these sorts of things, right? But did you catch right here? He says, do not be anxious. Let your requests be made known to God. He promises the peace of God. And notice what he says. He will guard. The peace of God will guard. That's an active position. It's not one that is passive. It is not one that just comes and lays there, and if things are going well, it's just laying there. But rather, whenever we're obedient and follow the will and the plan of God, the Bible says the peace of God will come and guard. It will be on defense of you. We don't have to be a victim. We can submit to the things of God. And the Bible says the peace of God will guard. And I've never noticed the active position that the peace of God takes. And how is that possible? Because we serve the one that is the Prince of Peace. And then finally, what does he guard? Your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. See, when we're just simply obedient to the will and the plan of God, when we're willing just to believe Him and trust Him at His Word, that he promises this peace that surpasses all understanding. And he promises that this peace will guard. And what tends to bring on anxiety, is that our mind starts racing, right? Start racing about all the potential, all the things, all the stuff that could happen. That, quite honestly, think about it, when you're most anxious, we run down these scenarios that we think could happen, and 99.999% of them never come to fruition. Never really happens. And so we run down all these situations that never happen. Our mind starts racing and racing out of control. We're overwhelmed. We can't sleep. We can't move on. We can't even work on. We're so unproductive about things. But then what moves on, then next thing you know, these emotions start tying up. We start getting upset with people about things they haven't even done yet. We start feeling all sorts of sadness about situations that haven't even transpired yet. Why? Because all these things that are happening, but listen to the promise of the Word of God. He says, I'll give you peace that surpasses all understanding. It'll guard your heart and your mind. The remedy is prayer because there's a promise that follows behind it. And so, friend, my encouragement to you is this. When the on-ramp begins, and there's this building up, and this just sense of the tornado coming that I can't control, my challenge is this. Let's just test the Lord and His Word and see if He won't be faithful to it. The next time you begin to sense being out of control, overwhelmed, it's too much, spend time in prayer. Go get in your prayer closet. Go get in your car. Do what you've got to do to let your request be made known unto God. Through prayer, praying for yourself, supplication, praying for others, with thanksgiving. Thank God for the opportunity to trust Him. And here's the challenge. Really pray. And I'm not just praying, God, help me to get over these emotions. Help me not to feel this way. Da, da, da. I may pray those things, but I'm praying about the situation. God, I can't fix what's going on in my job. I can't fix my boss. I can't fix these things going on. But God, You can. You can change the heart of a man. You can change the situation. You can intervene. You can work. Give me wisdom how to love people well. Really begin to pray and see if God won't exchange your anxiety for His peace. And trust Him in that. John 14, 27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And Isaiah said this, it's a prophecy to the people of God, said, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." May we keep our mind on the Lord. May we trust in Him. And now listen, I get it. I understand there's some that the struggles are even greater than others, and I can't know the full extent of those things. But I believe with every fiber of my being, because I'm telling you personally, I've experienced times where I just feel like, man, things are speeding up, it's rapid, it's out of control. And here's what I can tell you, even in recent months, on a Monday or Tuesday or whatever it is, I've come and I've knelt right here and began to pray. And I can't tell you every situation that's facing, whether got better or not, but this is what I can promise you. When I got up, I had a much different perspective and sense about it than whenever I knelt down. And I'm not telling you that because I want you to say, man, our pastor's really spiritual. Matter of fact, quite the opposite. I'm telling you because I'm just a man that struggles, just like every person in the room. And I've just seen God use this in my life. And I've seen God give peace that guarded my heart and my mind. And you know what? It's a regular battle. It's likely to be this week that if you come by the office, I may even be down here. Or you may come by this week and go, preacher, you ought to go be on the altar. Because I might be out of control. I don't know what you're facing. I just know that holiday seasons are hard oftentimes. And oftentimes a lot of holiday seasons bring a lot of emotions and a lot of things, including anxiety. Anxiety is up overwhelmingly in our culture and our society. Much of it has to do with devices, social media, comparison, being attached to everything in the world all the time. There's a lot of other things that'll help us face anxiety and help us deal with and get away from. But Paul gives us a clear word, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Pray. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And so here in just a moment, we're going to have a time of prayer and response. If you're lost and need to be saved today, the invitation is during this time, you come, say, Pastor Chris, I need to be saved. I need to trust Jesus for salvation. That's first and foremost. That's the single most important decision you'll ever make, that Jesus died on the cross for me and for you. He was raised from the grave to offer salvation. If you've never trusted Him, won't you trust Him today? Secondly, I don't believe it's any accident that God laid on my heart to preach this message to this room today. And there's some of you, I realize you're physically in a place where you just can't get down and kneel anymore. And the Lord knows that. And He can hear you right where you are. But I'm also fully convinced there's some in this room that we need to come get on this altar and ask God to help us to believe His word, to trust Him, to ask Him to do in our lives what only He can do, because there's some of us going, I need that peace to guard my heart and my mind. And it's not going to be a one-time thing. It's going to be a keep coming back thing. But we need to start this season just in a different way, asking the Lord to do what only He can. So I'm going to ask, if you'll bow your head and close your eyes, and just a moment, I'm going to pray. Whenever I finish praying, I'm going to invite you. Maybe you just need to come and spend a moment in prayer. Ask the Lord to forgive us of being overwhelmed and controlled by so many things other than Him and His Word. Maybe you need to ask God for that peace. Precious Jesus, we love and adore You. God, I pray this morning that above all else we would glorify You. We would seek to be obedient to You. And God, I pray that God, we wouldn't miss what You want to do this morning. We wouldn't rush past this moment. We wouldn't rush beyond whatever it may be that's next. But God, we would focus on You. Bind the enemy away from this moment. God, I pray that some that may be even dealing with anxiety for years and years and years would find victory this morning. Victory in Your Word. Victory in the peace that You give. God, I pray that the Word of God would rule and reign true in our lives. Lord Jesus, You work and You move. I pray if there's anybody's lost, God, You would give them grace to be saved this morning. Lord Jesus, we love You and we praise You. We ask in Jesus' name. your main attitude of prayer. God dealt with your heart this morning. Say, Pastor Chris, I just really been struggling. Or maybe you've got a friend that's struggling. Just come. And let's come get on this altar and ask God to do in and through our lives what only He can. Don't wait on anybody else. And if God dealt with your heart, you come. If you're not able to get on the altar, but whatever, feel compelled, come sit on one of these front pews. Just ask God to work in and through you. Ask God to help you have victory. You come.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you. Sin runs deep, your grace is more. What grace is found is where you are, and where you Christ in me. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need. So teach my soul to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. And when I cannot stand, I fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need.
Well, amen. Well, thank you so much for being here and grateful that you're here to worship with us today and just grateful to serve alongside you and looking forward to what the Lord has in store for us in the days ahead. Our men are going to begin to take their place and help us take up the offering today. Before I say a word about that, Bob, appreciate you coming and serving us, and you've been a blessing, my friend, and grateful for you and for the Arkansas Baptist State Convention. And so, Lord willing, Matt will be back. Matt and Kaylin and family will be back next week. And so they've enjoyed some much-deserved time off, and grateful for their service to our church. And so, anyway, let's stand together, and we will pray and be dismissed. Just thank you so much for your faithfulness to give and trusting the Lord in this. Make sure to pay attention to the bulletins of all the announcements, all the things that are happening. I hope you have a great week, and Lord willing, we'll see you Wednesday at 9:30 for Bible study with the pastor. You're all invited to come be a part of that, all right? Jesus, you're good. We love and adore you. We thank you for your grace and mercy. Lord, thank you so much for the truth of your word. Lord, I pray that, God, we would help, you would help us to apply it to our lives, help us to be more like Jesus. Lord, I pray that we would give in a way that brings honor and glory to your name. Help us to advance the gospel to the ends of the earth. Lord, go before us and behind us. Help us to be a witness for you, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.